Here we are, 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. I'm with you for just another hour. Michael Bartley jumps in. I got somewhere to be. That's all right. I'm going to have a rip-roaring time. There's a soiree I need to go to, that I want to go to, too, at the Bocce House in Fox Chapel, O'Hara, RIDC Park. It's going to be a fun time. All right, maybe I'm missing something here. But when you talk about people and they lose faith in the system, or they say, I don't have full faith in what's going on, or they question the legitimacy of it, or they wonder, are we really doing enough? This seems like a prime example. And it's a case of the pit peeper. You got it? The pit peeper. This story definitely flew under the radar because there's like 9 gazillion other things happening. But I think it's very important, especially if you're a student at Pitt, and especially if you're a female student at the University of Pittsburgh. Maybe I'm nuts, and you could tell me at 866-391-1020 that I'm nuts, if I am. I'm going to read this story from Channel 11, and then I'm going to opine on this. A Pitt student is facing charges after police say he followed a woman into a campus restroom and tried to record her. This woman, Cecil Yildrum, said it evokes a feminine rage that all females can bond over. Okay. So Cecil is one of the Pitt students who spoke with Channel 11. She was stunned to learn that a fellow student is facing charges after police say he was recording a woman using the bathroom in Benedum Hall. I'm so shocked that this happened right over there in a school building, which is insane, she said. According to Pitt police, Pitt honors student Yiko, Y-I-C-H-A-O, Yiko, that's how I'm going to pronounce it, Gan, G-A-N, followed a female student from class into the bathroom. When she was in the restroom, police say she observed a phone come over the top of the stall with a camera lens pointed at her. So keep this in mind. Not only is he in the female restroom, no-no to begin with. Big one. He is pointing a camera over the stall. Now, the woman left the stall and confronted this guy, who's a creep. Then brought him to Panther Central. Margo, what is Panther Central? Can you help me out with that? Is that like, I don't know, the hub of something? What's Panther Central?
It's like, yeah, where you get your IDs and stuff.
Oh, okay. The administrative hub, yeah. Sort of, so to speak. Okay, so she brought him to Panther Central. She told police she wanted to press charges. Detectives questioned him. They also talked to her, of course. Court documents say Gan, G-A-N, told them he had a desire to see women and was curious about what they did in the restroom. Okay? So he admitted this. Officers didn't take him into custody at the scene. And instead, they told him he'd be receiving criminal charges through the mail as a summons, which cops call catch and release, right? That means he's not in jail. He never went to jail. He wasn't handcuffed. He wasn't booked. He wasn't put in a police car. None of that. He was spoken to much in the same way you would be if you got a parking ticket. A spokesperson for Pitt told Channel 11's Gabby DeLuca they did not send out an alert warning students about the incident. The spokesperson would not comment on whether the student will face disciplinary action through the university. Well, first of all, this guy's lucky he didn't get punched by this woman. Second of all, I find Pitt police to generally be really good. I don't know if they had the latitude to do anything or not. This is ridiculous. As I tell this story, I have right now 4 city police officers who are saying, what? With exclamation points and a question mark. In various degrees. 4 different ones texting me right now as I told that story. There is absolutely no way you have a sexual deviant like this guy that you don't put in handcuffs and take him to the Allegheny County Jail. There is no way it's a catch and release. No way. They're derelict of duty. I don't know if it's from administration. I don't know if it's an edict. I don't know if it's an officer that didn't want to do it. I don't know what the answer is. But we're told all the time, on college campuses in particular, you got to really try to make sure to keep women safe. Make them feel comfortable. This guy violated a woman and got caught and admitted it. And they said, here's a ticket. Show up at the magistrate in a month. Go about your business. That's not good enough. I'm sorry. It's not good enough at all. And this story was buried amongst a bunch of other stories because there's a lot of things going on nationally. There's even other things going on locally. It's just the way that it is. But when people say they lose faith in the system or that the punishment doesn't fit the crime, this guy should have went through the booking process. Even if he got, and I hate no cash bail, you know that. Even if he got no cash bail, to put him through the system and put him through the rigmarole of, we scared the hell out of you, put you in handcuffs, put you in the back of the car, take you down to the jail, put you in a cell, send you through an arraignment, all that. Have a first appearance, and then, oh yeah, sure, you can go, I guess. Make sure you appear. That may this does not deter anybody. It's a blatant failure. There is somebody who is sexually deranged walking around Pitt's campus who admitted he's sexually deranged, who's a wackadoodle, and the people who are supposed to protect the most on a college campus, women like this, who are in their space, the women's bathroom, a woman was violated. And Pitt just said, hey, here's a ticket, pal. Show back up. Just like, you know, parking outside of Fitzgerald Fieldhouse on the curb for a little bit. Same thing. Here's a ticket. Not good enough. Not good enough at all. I don't know whose fault it is. It's not good enough. Every time he says, and I hear that guy, every once in a while he reports, Dan Schwartzman. I think he's going to say Dan Schwartzbauer, who is a baseball player of some note. In these parts, is a very good guy. Dan Schwartzman. Dan Schwartzbauer. Anyhow, 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. I do want to get into, air travel, or lack thereof, maybe, before I get out of here. And I'm out of here at 5 o'clock today. Michael Bartley will take you through after that. I got a big important place to be. 28 better be clear, by the way. Which, highly doubtful. But I've had a couple, I've had a little time to think about this. To sort of sleep on it last night. Let me sleep on it. So I did that, and I've started to think about this some. And again, you know me, I don't tell other people how to think. But this whole Corey O'Connor business. So he's named Dan Gilman, the next chief of staff, and Sheldon Williams, the next public safety director. He's got to be upped by the by city council. Sheldon Williams. He was on here earlier, which I hope doesn't jeopardize him being getting a thumbs up. Anyway, I've known Dan Gilman since he's a middle school kid. He graduated with my late brother, and I've known him to be a wonderfully organized, polite, super good-hearted person, okay? I think Dan Gilman will thrive under a different boss who isn't a ridiculous micromanager like Bill Peduto was. I honestly feel that way. I don't know much about Williams. I do know that there are some people within the police force who questioned how his relationship ended with Nate Harper and questioned if Nate Harper fell on the sword for a lot of people and took one for people much like Sheldon Williams. Anyhow, I advanced the conversation at 866-391-1020 to this. I am 100%, and I don't live in the city, but it's important that the city thrives for everybody that lives in suburbs around the city. It has to be an economical, buzzing hub for everything to work. I 100% am giving Corey O'Connor a big chance. Open mind. I think that he can bring things back to a logical center. And I talked about this some yesterday, but I had a little bit more of a think about it when I slept on it and then thought about it some this morning. He needs to be a uniter. He does. And he needs to give the impression that he's uniting everybody, and he doesn't need to cling to or take one side super hard. But what he does need to do is align with the people who can help him most and really help him most. That is to say, he has to be somebody that takes meetings with power brokers. He has to be somebody that gets in with people who have money. And he has to be somebody that does it very quickly. There's no long, protracted, feeling out process. And the other thing, too, he's going to be called on the carpet by some people. And some people who don't understand the process of this whole nonprofit stuff. His relationship with UPMC needs to stay cordial, because it is right now. It's not adversarial. They don't hate each other. UPMC and Ed Gainey hated each other, and that's fine. Ed Gainey needed UPMC a lot more than UPMC needed Ed Gainey. But for Corey O'Connor to truly thrive, he might be able to milk some more out of UPMC money-wise, but it's just as important to stay on good footing with them. That's what has to happen. He needs to side with the people and lean toward the people with the money. I've thought about that long and hard, and a lot of the loudest people out there that really want to align with Corey O'Connor and the people on the way far left, he kind of just needs to let them go. Not be mean to them, not overtly tell them they suck, but just let them keep shouting and not truly align with them. Are you not wanting to fly in the next week, this weekend, a month from now? Are you putting your Thanksgiving plans on hold? I want to talk all about that before I get out of here at 5. Let's break the news from the AP. A federal judge in Rhode Island just ordered the Trump administration to find the money to fully fund SNAP benefits for November. That'd be, what, 25 more days in November? Ruling by U.S. District Judge John J. McConnell Jr., John J. Jingleheimer Schmidt. John J. McConnell Jr., Thursday, that's today, was in response to a challenge from cities and nonprofits complaining that the administration was only offering to cover 65% of the max benefit. Government said it will rely on $4.65 billion in emergency funding. Judge levied his ruling, and here we go. Trump administration said last month it would not pay benefits for all at all for November because of the federal shutdown. So the tug of war continues. 866-391-1020 is that number here. So happy that I really, and I mean this 1,000%. I have to run off somewhere coming up at 5 o'clock. I can't explain enough just how wonderful Michael Bartley is and how great he is. I really value his friendship and his ability, my ability to work with him. He's just a great, great guy. He's going to jump in here coming up at the top of the hour. You know what? I look at me, myself and Michael Bartley as the way that we should get along in the country. We have very divergent views politically. We aren't the same sort of person. We do have some similarities, but differences. But we never yell at each other about anything. We figure it out. We talk like men and go ahead and just talk out our differences. And I find him to be a wonderful friend. It's just very weird that people younger than us really can't do that. Anyway, something crazy going on, and it really, really hits tomorrow. I guess there's lists already out there of some of the flights that are already delayed and or canceled. But give a listen to this from Karen Hua in Houston.
We have emails from American Airlines saying one thing, emails from United saying other things, passengers saying they don't really know what this means if they are traveling this upcoming weekend. For example, on United's front here in Houston, they've said that they will not stop any of their major flights between their hubs, and they won't stop any international long-haul flights.
Oh my gosh.
Major hubs like Denver and Atlanta and Los Angeles, they're going to have their flights reduced. Also, all three airports serving New York City and Washington, D.C., they're also going to be impacted. So it's going to be interesting to see how that's going to impact the traffic coming into airports and how their security screening points are going to be able to keep up with that.
Sure as heck is. A little more, Karen.
We've been here at Houston's Bush Airport all throughout the week, seeing how the traffic has ebbed and flowed. It's certainly a lot calmer right now, but because of the staffing shortages as well, some airports like Bush have had to cut the number of security screening points they have. So all of this in combination with each other could just lead to something of chaos.
All right, here's your rights as a passenger. There are three big bullet points, but the main one that I think a lot of people need to pay attention to is, if staffing shortages cause flight delays, can I get compensation? That's a big one people ask. You know what the answer is? U.S. airlines are not required to pay additional cash compensation and or cover lodging and or meals for passengers who are stranded, even if a flight cancellation or severe delay is the airline's fault. Keep that in mind. And as I say that, I want to talk to you at 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. What if you have a flight this weekend? What about Thanksgiving that's just around the corner? Like, I'm not flying either one of those. Not this week. Margo's flying in a couple days. But, Margo, what are you doing about your flight? Let me ask you that. I'm going to ask you straight away. You're going out of town. I'm sure I just probably shouldn't have told everybody your private business, but you said that the other day. Are you squared away and are you sure everything's going to be A-okay?
No, I'm not sure. I'm very scared.
You are?
Yes, I'm very nervous.
You're supposed to fly out tomorrow night, I think you told me, right?
Yes, yeah.
Have you built in enough time?
Yeah, 100%, but I'm just scared my flight back's going to get canceled.
Yeah, and that's where we are with all of this. And I wonder, too, how much it'll delay people making reservations for the Thanksgiving holiday. Here's the people I feel most about. Well, one, people that want to get home for the holiday and they're going to book in advance if they haven't done already. But people who are going this weekend. It's one thing to fly internationally. Yeah, I'm going to Rome. Yeah, I'm going to Germany. Yeah, I'm going to Brazil. Okay, all right. If you're delayed 3 hours or whatever, so be it. You're going to get there. It's the people who are going to New York City for a long weekend, or the people who are going to Chicago, or the people who are flying to D.C. or somewhere on business. It's one of those things where it's close enough you could drive, but far enough it's comfortable to fly, and you've already bought the ticket. Because now here is where you are. You really got to be committed to one side or the other. Because if you say, well, you know what, screw it, I'm just going to forget it, I'm going to drive and whatever, and then the flight goes off without a hitch, you're kicking yourself that especially you got to drive home and you spent all that time in the car. If you commit to saying, all right, like say a flight to New York City, you want to go watch a couple Broadway shows this weekend, have a little dinner, and then shoot back on Monday morning or even late Sunday night. And you say, you know what? No, I'm not going to drive. I'm totally committed to it. And something doesn't work tomorrow here in Pittsburgh because of a trickle down from other flights in other places, and you didn't drive, and it seeps then into Saturday, and you can't get a flight until Saturday at 11, and you had tickets for a matinee on Broadway, and you, I don't know, really wanted to see The Outsiders or Six or whatever the heck you had tickets for, then you don't make it. And you say, well, if I would have left yesterday and drove, I would have made it. But I'm committed to flying. It's those kind of mid-range flights and the people that have tickets on those that are forced with a decision right now to either just throw their hands in the air and say, screw this, scrap all my plans, I'm driving. Or if you're committed, you got to be fully committed. But what it might do is lay you back enough to where it screws up your whole three-day weekend. I will say this, though. We talk about hunger, and we talk about missed paychecks. People getting mad over air travel is going to solve this. It's just, that's the way that it's going to go. Bill's in Leedsdale. Hi, Bill.
How you doing, Colin?
Great.
I want to ask a question. You know, I just heard like in the last couple of hours, some judge somewhere said Trump has to fully fund the SNAP program.
Okay, Rhode Island,
that's
yes.
That's one thing. So let me ask you this. I don't quite understand. So
What's this have to do with flying somewhere?
Oh, I didn't know you. I was in a car and I just...
Oh, okay. But anyway, what's your question real quick?
My question is, if Franklin Delano Roosevelt declared war in Japan, could some judge in Nevada say, hey, I'm not allowing Franklin Delano Roosevelt to declare war, so we're not declaring war? I don't know how that works.
Yeah, that I don't know. What do you think?
You know what I mean? I mean, I just don't understand how that some guy somewhere could just say, no, you're not doing that, or yes, you are doing that. I don't get it.
Well,
I thought maybe you knew.
No. What I do think is there needs to be, I think I could cut it in the middle. I don't know from a legality standpoint. What has to happen is, in this country, and this is just the way I think, far too many people are on SNAP that shouldn't be. Okay? And there needs to be a long look with a microscope on SNAP and the qualifications in which to continue to receive them. But what you can't have on the other side are people who are legitimately on the SNAP program that are potentially, and their kids are potentially, going to go hungry because of this impasse right now.
Right. Okay.
I'm glad we reached an agreement, sir. 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. Let's hit traffic before I get out of here in just a little bit. Huge news. Get this. They arrested Antonio Brown in Dubai, and he's been extradited to New Jersey by U.S. Marshals, wanted for attempted murder in South Florida earlier this year. You remember that when he was at that show or wherever he was walking through like that garage in that outdoor area, and then he fled to Dubai. Mr. Big Cuffs is what he is now, I guess. What a fall from grace. Do you know what? I've said this many times. Okay? And here's the crazy part. Other than Mike Webster, and maybe even including Mike Webster, when you take the offensive side of the ball, follow me here, in Pittsburgh Steelers history, and I don't need a bunch of boomers telling me I'm wrong. Well, it's your opinion. You can, but I don't think I'm wrong. If you take every single offensive player who has ever played for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Webster might be the only one that is better against his competition, against every other person at their position, than Antonio Brown, or ranks higher. That is to say, I know that's tough to follow, but follow me on this. If you take the position they played and their rank in history at that position, Mike Webster at center might be the only offensive Steelers player ever who was better at his position than Antonio Brown. I mean that. It certainly isn't one of the receivers. It's not Bradshaw. There's no tight end. Webster, absolutely, as center, he's one of the best handful ever. There's no running back. Antonio Brown, when measured against his peers of all time at that position, only has Mike Webster to go against as a premier talent. He is, and look, I don't know if we can forget about people's personal ills or whatever, especially if they're in jail at the time. He's absolutely talent-wise a first ballot Hall of Famer. No question, not even a debate. It doesn't even come close for me. But, I mean, people will say, oh, he's a knucklehead. Okay, yeah, you're right. From a talent standpoint, it ain't even close. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I'll be back tomorrow. Can't wait. Michael Bartley will take you through. I appreciate him doing this Friday, and we're going to have a rip-roaring Friday.